Thank you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. In the exclusive second part of this podcast with Angela Maxwell, we look at ways we can integrate change, courage, curiosity, and self-discovery into our daily lives. And we talk about what lies ahead for the solo adventurer. Now, that's a fascinating observation. I interviewed Eric Weinmayer, who went blind at 14, climbed Everest, did the seven summits, kayaked the Colorado River, just a remarkable person. And one of the things we talked about was how some people seem to exhibit a lot of courage and others not as much. And he has a reference point. He has three categories. And these categories are fluid. You can be in any category at a point in time. But he has quitters, self-evident, campers who like the status quo, and climbers who go out there and do things. And he thinks it's a very small percentage of people who are climbers. And one of the things that fascinates me is I think to live your life, you have to take those risks, put yourself out there, be uncomfortable, and learn to climb. And you may not do it every day and every time, but you have to move into that area of uncertainty, I think, which is also a possibility. How do you move people from being campers to being climbers? And should we care?
Oh, that's a great follow-up. I mean, I think that an invitation and encouragement are two important things, because ultimately, when you feel really alone, it's definitely the most challenging to step in to being, you know, as he calls it, a climber. And it doesn't mean you can't do it alone. I mean, I was alone in Mongolia, in a ravine, having had the most terrifying experience of my life, waiting for the sun to rise, and then saying, okay, I'm at this pivotal point. Do I give up and go home? Or, which I don't even have a home, but do I just, you know, go back to the normal status quo? Or do I find this innate strength and courage that I believe we all have to keep walking? And it's going to be terrifying. And anything outside of the comfort zone is a risk. I mean, that's another thing, right? Anything that is not known to us is taking a risk. And so I feel like people having the invitation and the encouragement, which is what inspires my work. I mean, it did years ago before I walked, but in a much deeper understanding now, that they know, okay, I can see how other people have done it. And then I also know I'm being invited to do that, and I know how to do that. Because I think it's actually a lack of knowing how. Meaning, if I had never walked around the world, would I have ever really known what it feels like to choose courage, you know, in a way that ultimately made me what I believe a better human being, actually wanting to give more by deciding to follow my heart and to know that even though it's going to be scary, I am going to, as he would say, climb towards being that courageous person, which we all admire. Right. We all have, there are, you know, we find that in movies, in what people have accomplished. We see an awe, and all of a sudden a gap is created. So before I started walking, there was this gap almost like, well, what this woman went through and what she's doing today, oh, she's so courageous, I'm not. I can't tell you how many people say, oh, you're so brave, I'm not that brave. But the thing is that we can become that. I think we all innately have that. We all have an innate ability to love, to have compassion and empathy for people. So we all have the ability to be climbers, and we all have the ability to choose that courage. And so I think encouragement and even accountability are important. And you don't see that often in this world of adventure. You know, very, very, very little does someone say, hey, let me help you, you know, kind of go from the camper into the climber. And I'm going to hold you accountable and you know, support you through that. We don't see that kind of a conversation happening, except for maybe here on Bump in the Road.
No, that's a great point, because with encouragement, it can become a real pivot point in somebody's life.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be walking around the world. It could be something simpler. It could be a weekend. It could be a week-long foray. But just that recognition that you have it within you to move forward through uncertainty and even relish it.
Yes. And I think, you know, it can be overlooked that it takes, you know, a choice of courage to go within yourself, right? To see your blind spots, to let other people also see your vulnerability, your true vulnerability, and to let them actually support you through that. I mean, to me, being vulnerable, being open and honest is the deepest sense of connection we can have. And so I think going within ourselves and really discovering what we think, what we feel, how we see the world, how we see ourselves, is an act of, you know, courage.
And it's interesting to look at our beliefs, isn't it? And to look at how they can be stripped away. And it all of a sudden you realize what is true.
Yes. Well, and I see, you know, belief is just, the way that I see it, belief is something that we just think about over and over. We think about it all the time. We make it real. We hear it, and when something comes into our ears, then we let it go through our mind and hopefully our hearts, and we say, does that resonate for me? Is that true for me? And if I say yes, I now believe it. This is how we kind of create that broader sense of reality. We all start believing the same things. We, I believe, have the ability to create our own belief systems. What we choose to agree upon, what we disagree with, is also what shapes our personality and shapes how we engage with people, communities, and ultimately within the world.
Yeah, there was a quote I pulled that I really liked. Let's see if I can read my writing. Embracing curiosity and open-mindedness is a powerful way to experience the earth.
Absolutely. I think the moment that we see something that we've never seen before, but even something we look at every day, like the tree outside the window, when we think we know it, when we think we understand that tree is absorbing water and it grows these little pine needles. And the moment we think we know the magic of the universe, we stop being curious. I mean, we, for some reason, as humans, we love feeling like we're right about things, that we know how things work. And if we just let ourselves still stay curious, I mean, someone who did it beautifully was Albert Einstein. As much as he knew, he always maintained the sense of curiosity that he could be wrong, that someone else could come up and go, oh, well, it could work this way too. And it would go, wow, how fascinating is that? Not, oh, I'm wrong. I got it wrong. It's just, oh, well, that's interesting. Everything, it's almost like everything keeps moving and shaping. Nature's shaping itself, and so are we internally. And I agree with that quote, because we're doing it with a sense of curiosity, open-mindedness, and I believe that ability to have, you know, compassion and understanding.
I think curiosity leads to compassion and understanding.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. Because, you know, once we say, I would like to know what you think, how you feel, and not even having to agree or disagree in the moment, yeah, and just being curious about everything, that creates, I think, like an instantaneous connection. And from that connection, we can have, you know, the compassion and the empathy with people around us and for ourselves as well.
Yeah, compassion's an interesting thing, something we certainly can use more of, I think, in this world in general. And it always starts with being open and vulnerable to somebody else and to being curious about what is their life, where have they walked, what is their story, why do they feel this way? And there's nothing judgmental about that. I think that being open-minded and curious can lead you in so many interesting directions with people, with places, with experiences.
Yes. And I think, you know, well, at least with an experience of travel, I mean, whether or not you're walking or you fly in somewhere and you get a rental car or whatnot, if we arrive closed-minded and then, you know, also we have this kind of a sense or a habit of taking where we are that's completely new and wanting to connect it to what we know. Oh, that's like back home, or, oh, that's like this, you know. If we can stay open-minded and curious to what we're experiencing, it is like a whole other world. And I think that that is what perpetuates more open-mindedness within ourselves and within the world. Because ultimately, a lot of the problems I think we run into is the lack of compassion and the ability to really stay curious and open to what other people think and how they feel, because none of us ultimately, I think deep down, really want to live in a world with it all being the same, everyone feeling the same way about something. We forget that we actually appreciate the contrast of life. And to be open-minded to that is what creates, deeper connections. And I think that that's actually a big way of healing what these borders that we feel a border separates us from another country, another, group of people, that we're actually borderless. We're just humans. And we're all wanting a lot of the same things. We want to be loved. We want to love. We want to be happy and successful and healthy and safe. And so ultimately, I realized on the walk, that borders definitely don't define us, that ultimately we're all the same. We're all wanting the same thing.
I agree. I think these emotional spiritual needs transcend any arbitrary definition of country, border, person, color, or anything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe that going beyond our backyard, in some sense, travel is what opens us up to those experiences. I oftentimes I'll speak at different schools, and especially like international schools and universities. And when you have programs set in place where, a young child or a teenager can go into an environment where the person has a different religion, different way of eating, the food, all of that, and realize, wow, the world and the whole experience is so much broader. I mean, that's ultimately what I think perpetuates this sense of connection. And it's just great when I see that around the world happening, when they're bringing in, someone like being brought into Malikse University in Turkey, that it was one of the first universities that had female professors. And, most of them, had grown, were raised in Turkey and had never traveled outside. And so to have someone then come in and have these experiences and share, it's like they can taste and experience a little bit of that through the eyes of someone, hopefully, that has a sense of compassion and curiosity and joy for the way that the world is kind of shaping itself.
Yeah, joy is a big piece of it. I think when you find yourself, a friend of mine calls it the void, when you're out there beyond your comfort zone. But in the void, there's all this possibility, which is what I think is so cool. I mean, there's no prescribed route. There's nothing you must do. There's not a time clock on you. What do you want to create? It's such a cool place to be.
Yeah. Oftentimes, the word unknown comes up. I feel the most comfortable in the unknown. And it's scary for most people because, again, we want to know. We want to know how things work. And we love it when we have some sense of defined future goal. And even though the world can't promise us that you're going to get, tenure at the university or you're going to, get the promotion, we like to think that we have some sense of this is where I'm headed and, I'm going to get to some point, some end result. Whereas in the unknown, the magic of what could spontaneously, show up in your life or take you in a different direction. I mean, when I talk to people, oftentimes, I mean, you've probably have heard this with people you've interviewed, but most people do regret what they didn't do.
Yeah.
It's not what they did do. Even if it seems like it goes haywire, they say, I did it. I tried it. I experienced it. And I think that's so true for most of us is, and oftentimes we don't regret what we do anyway. So.
What's your next adventure?
I'm working on doing an expedition in Iceland at some point. So I'll still consider, the walk of the world has been completed, but I see it a bit as an adventure lifestyle. But my grandest adventure actually is, I'm building my platform again. My work has always been like counseling and coaching, specifically with women. But I'm opening it up to all humans because I want it to be inclusive, no matter gender or, identity. And so, I'm going to be creating a whole program where I'm taking people on quote an adventure, but it's an inwards one, right? So it's very much having these types of conversations where they say, this is what I want to experience. This is who I want to be, whether it be, I want to be more loving or I want to be happier. I want, you know, or I, even if it's, I just want to hike the Pacific Crest Trail and I've been terrified as a woman to do it alone. Or, you know, I have a client now who's a lawyer and he, you know, wants to quit his job and do something different. And so, you know, with my business background too, it's taking all of these elements. And as we talked about this, inviting and then encouraging and holding accountable to the ways in which we can take one step at a time towards that experience that they want to have. So we start inwards, we start with breath, and we start with getting in touch with our thoughts and our belief systems. And then we start to move externally. And it's not a get quick kind of rich thing, right? It's, there's so many programs and things out there that say, oh, we can change your life in 6 weeks, you know? And there's some things that you can do quite fast, but if you give yourself a bit of time, like for me, I took 9 months, but from the moment I actually said I would do the walk to when I left, I gave myself 9 months to prepare. I mean, even though I was a total amateur diving into the outback, you know, I still gave myself time to research, put things in place. You know, I didn't necessarily just step out the door a week later. So I think there's something to be said for the preparation of our mind, our body, and our soul for how we can make those changes to living our, you know, our fullest potential and happiness.
And living in congruence with what we really feel deep within.
Absolutely. I love that. Living in congruence, in integrity with what we feel and in what we believe. Because we can have a belief system that, you know, tells us that there is a miracle around the corner, but not be willing to live that and show up for that. So yeah, congruence and integrity.
One of my favorite quotes from you is, we will all at some point need to sacrifice comfort for the integrity of our heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again,
like, can you have both?
You can, yes, but you can create, depends on when I think about my comfort now. Before I left the walk, the comfort was being able to get pizza delivered to my door. The comfort was I could turn on Netflix. I going inside and just hitting a button and my gas fireplace would turn on. And now the comfort is within knowing who I am. The comfort is I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. I know the places that I can grow and expand as a person. I know those edges. And so when we talked about anything beyond the comfort zone, my comfort zone is wider. It's further away from my own inner being now, but I'll feel it when I go, oh, okay, that's beyond that boundary. Here's Angela taking a risk. Here's, you know, going beyond that. So we can have both as long as I think we realize it's how we define comfort.
Now, that's a really good point. And I think the more comfortable you get in taking those risks, the more you live on that edge and the more it just keeps expanding. Does it ever contract?
I think you could, there are moments you can feel, I definitely do, a contraction. When the fear, you know, I'm not doing the work to show up and the fear can get crippling. And meaning it's that point we've all hit where, you know, using, for example, you know, I want to start my own business. And so someone says, okay, I know what I want to do. I want to make this product or I want to do this service, but I don't know how I'm going to get emails. I don't know how I'm going to market. I don't. And then they just go, oh, well, that's just too much. So something becomes crippling. So there's moments where I think, you know, the comfort level and even our boundary of what works for us, it can breathe the same as we do as we move through things. And that's why, you know, we can't just choose courage or climb once. It's a lifestyle. It's a way that we're always showing up, using our mind with positive self-talk, you know, knowing that we can keep expanding and that, you know, again, everything breathes and shapes and moves. So I do believe that that place of comfort, it expands out and we'll notice when it expands in, we don't feel good. We stop ourselves from moving forward. We create those limitations that will keep us safe. But when we know how to show up and we have the encouragement and the accountability, it will continue to expand.
If you could distill this amazing adventure down to three or four points to leave with people, what would you tell them?
It's never too late to change, to start. that you are absolutely naturally born strong, courageous, beautiful, and perfect, and that you have the ability to honestly do and be anything that you want. And I do believe that, you know, taking an adventure, which is life itself, how we can shape that is the greatest adventure we'll ever have.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.